Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Waddle and I have been talking about this for a few days, and then we finally texted the good kid. And Carmen jumped at it. We were waiting on a response from Yurko yesterday evening.
Carmen jumped on it like a good bottle of bourbon.
We have decided as two shows, one great radio station, ESPN 1000, download that ESPN Chicago app, that at least once a week, we're going to get into the studio. We're going to produce some extra content for you.
Yeah.
That Waddle and Sylvie will be cross-talking with Carmen and Yurko, as their show ends at noon and our show begins at 2, we don't see each other as much. We're going to meet in the studio to record something. Tomorrow's going to be the first day. We're going to then put it at the end of each show's podcast. So as soon as we're done, like you'll be able to get it on the Carmen and Yurko podcast on the ESPN Chicago app, and you'll be able to get it at the end of our podcast. The plan is to be uncensored as well. To do a little, go a little blue here like we've done before on Twitch when we're not, quote, on the radio.
It's going to be like Christmas once a week. It's going to be 52 Christmases.
And maybe more. We'll see. We'll see where this goes. We miss them. They
Christmas
miss us.
For me once a week because I really miss spending 15, 20, 30 minutes with them every day.
So you have to do us a favor. All right? We're asking you for a favor. We know you love ESPN 1000. You're on Twitch. You're on the ESPN Chicago app. You're listening on your home speaker. You're listening on the radio. If you love it and you love the crosstalk, like you've said, download it. Mm. Download that ESPN Chicago app, and you'll get it starting tomorrow.
Okay? We are probably going to either have to bring in Yurko $100 bills or maybe feed him a little bit to get him to do some extra work. But
just don't give him poop and garbage, right? Yeah, is that what he said?
Crap and garbage.
Robert Mays is awesome when it comes to breaking down the National Football League. You love him. He's a Chicago guy. He, like us, wants the Bears to win. He, like us, can get frustrated from time to time. And he joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Hi, Robert.
What a great note on which to start. I really appreciate that, Sylvie. Thank you very much. It's frustration constantly.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, we've been talking a lot about Teddy Bridgewater today, Andy Dalton. And it's not necessarily that, hey, Teddy's this great quarterback anymore. We've seen what he does. My frustration today, Robert, has been more about that the Bears can't wait to overpay whatever they're looking to pay at quarterback. Whether it was Mike Glennon, $18 million to start 4 games. Whether it was Mitch over Mahomes and Watson to go from 3 to 2. Whether it was you got to trade for Nick Foles and give up a 4th-round pick and he ends up starting 7 games. Or now you go for Andy Dalton at $10 million instead of Teddy Bridgewater if you would have been patient for $4.5 million. How do you react to that?
I think this is far less egregious than what has happened in the past. I mean, there's no way. I don't think you can get that worked up over $5.5 million difference in base salary, and not that they're giving up no draft capital. Last year, when it's $20 million guaranteed and a 4th-round pick for Foles compared to some of the other options.
Yeah, let's put Robert on hold and reestablish the line. I was trying to get him on hold, but my line was locked. His stuff is too good not
he's
to be
great.
Able to hear.
I agree with his premise. His premise is this particular decision is less damning than some of the other quarterback mistakes they've made. But again, the same problem with their decision making is the focal point.
Robert, we got you back. Hopefully it's clear up. Go ahead. As you were saying, it's far less egregious.
Yeah, I just think it's less egregious than what happened last year with Foles. I mean, you're not giving up any draft capital here. It's a difference in $5.5 million base salary. It's a similar issue, but I just don't think it's as much of a problem. I also don't think there's an appreciable difference between Andy Dalton and Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, compared to some of the other moves that they've made, I can understand why they wanted to get this done during free agency, all of that. I just think that they're in a bad way either way, so it's hard for me to work up much emotion about this, especially when you consider where Teddy Bridgewater is at this point in his career. Last year, if they had waited on Foles, there were several different options. If Cam Newton hadn't been signed yet, Jameis Winston hadn't been signed yet, Andy Dalton was going to be released. This year, there are fewer seats when you're looking at the quarterback musical chairs, and that's why I can understand why they wanted to do this, even if, to Waddle's point, it's a similar issue to one we've seen before.
Yeah, what do you believe this offense looks like? Let's not even focus on the draft just yet. What does this offense look like with Andy Dalton under center for them in 2021, Robert?
It's a great question, because last year they kind of had this Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, not, I don't even want to phrase it that way. It wasn't good or bad. It was just a little schizophrenic when it came to what they wanted to be schematically. You had, when Trubisky was in there, you had heavy play action boot stuff. When Foles was in there, it looked more like the offense they'd run for the last couple of years before that. So I don't know what they want to be. It seems like with Dalton, we would have more of a transition back to the type of offense they ran over those first couple of years, which makes sense considering his experience with Lazor and the amount of RPOs they ran in Cincinnati when those two were together. So I can understand that. But again, I think that it's hard to come down on a firm answer just because we haven't seen a ton of consistency with them in what they want this to be, depending on who the quarterback is.
I've said a bunch in the past that I think that Mitch ate Matt's brain, but I think you can also say that Matt ate some of Mitch's brain. It just wasn't something that worked. The point I'm making, Robert, is I agree with you. I think you may see a different Matt Nagy if, in fact, he is calling plays for a guy that he trusts in different situations. So with that as a backdrop, where are you at with regard to Matt as an offensive-minded head coach?
I thought that was going to be the case with Foles last year. Right. Wasn't that what we were talking ourselves into for an entire offseason?
Yeah.
Is that when they got just baseline quarterback play, we would get to see what Matt Nagy really was as a play caller and as an offensive coach. And they were one of the worst passing offenses in the NFL last year when Nick Foles was in there. I just think that all of these rationalizations that we've tried to bring forth over the last couple of years, well, with Mitch, there's no way you can call a real offense. And I used to say and think that. And then they get Foles in there. And I think even up to the game after Atlanta, when we saw him come in the second half against the Falcons, and there were a couple of moments, even that conversation in the huddle, about how he directed, I think it was Anthony Miller, toward the middle of the field, and there was this dialogue about what they wanted to do. I remember talking to Adam Johns after that happened and saying, man, maybe this is going to be a little bit different. And then 2 weeks later, it all goes and crashes again. So I just don't know if I can talk myself into that again, because we've gone through these stages of bargaining so many different times over the last 12 months.
Right. And remember the Monday night snafu, too. Remember when Brian Griese says what he says?
Yep.
And everyone's like, oh, it's miscommunication, but maybe not. Like, again, he just didn't connect with the guy he thought he was going to connect with. So we'll see where this goes. Robert, and we're talking to Robert Mays, Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN 1000. If I'm giving you your choice, are you getting the quarterback by going up? Are you going to try and trade back and get one of the second-tier guys? Are you going to be patient on the second-tier guys? How are you getting the quarterback of the future?
I think it would depend on who's there and depend on what happens from 7 to 10. Obviously, trading up to 7 is probably a non-starter because it's within the division. And if a guy like Justin Fields is available and the Patriots decide to go up to 7 and they get him, if there's none of those top 5 guys left, then I can understand waiting. If a guy like Mac Jones is still there at 20 because the Niners take Trey Lance at 3 or however this falls, I think that's what it's going to depend on. Is one of the 5 guys still around at the 8th pick or later? Because if he is, I can understand going up and getting one of those guys. If it's Justin Fields, if all of this Mac Jones stuff is real and the Falcons don't end up taking a quarterback and we get to the 8th pick, and the Panthers don't love him, but he's still available, I think it's justifiable to move up for a guy with that sort of talent. I understand the criticisms of him. You know, I've talked to people around the league who just think he's a little bit methodical and he doesn't play as fast as you want him to, even though all the physical traits are there. I just think that he's so, so talented that it's worth throwing the dice on a guy like that. But it'll depend on how the draft falls. If you can't get one of those guys, I think you wait. Because we've seen it over time, and even if you wait until the second round, the history is brutal. We talked about it on our show a couple weeks ago. If you look at the quarterbacks over the last 10 years that have been drafted between 15 and 75, which is, you know, the middle of the first round through the middle of the third round, it's awful. I mean, there's just very, very few guys that come from that range that end up becoming long-term starters, you can count them on one hand. I mean, Andy Dalton is probably the second best quarterback in that range that's been taken over that stretch after Derek Carr. Those are the types of guys we're discussing here. It's not good. So talking yourself into one of those guys, it usually ends in disappointment if we're being totally honest with ourselves.
Have you talked yourself into any of those guys as much as the history tells you don't love them? Is there one guy of that second group you like more?
I think if you're trying to talk yourself into one of them, it might be Mon just because of the physical ability. But there's a reason those guys aren't getting pushed up the draft. There's a reason that guys that last beyond the first half of the first round typically don't work out. I mean, for every Aaron Rodgers, there's 15 examples that have gone the other way. And I just think that there's a reason for that. There's a reason that the history of those spots is so checkered. And it's because if you're good enough, you're going to get pushed up the draft. And quarterback is one of those spots where there just aren't many examples of diamonds in the rough that fall. You know, you can, again, count on one hand the guys taken in the back half of the third round or later over the last 20 years that have developed. It's Dak Prescott, it's Russell Wilson, and it's Tom Brady, and that's it. You know, Kirk Cousins is the next best guy on that list. It's not very good.
Is that pretty much the singular explanation, Robert, for why it costs so much to move up now? Because if you compare the market today to even 2017, where the Chiefs went from 27 to 10, gave the Bills a third-round pick in that draft and the following year's first-round pick, and you compare that to what it takes to move up in a comparable way this year, it's night and day.
I think that we've seen sort of a seismic shift in what teams want from the quarterback position and how honest coaches are about what they need at that position. Now, it hasn't been that long since we had a world where Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and Tom Brady with this platonic ideal of the position. That's what you were chasing. And now I think what we've seen from guys like Mahomes and guys like Josh Allen, there's this tantalizing element to these guys that are so physically talented. And you know you need one of those guys now. The Rams are a perfect example, right? The Rams have Jared Goff as the cog in this beautiful machine that Sean McVay has created. They're a top five, top seven-ish offense for their first 3 years together. But eventually you realize you're capped out. You realize that if you have one of those guys that's not the guy, it's very hard to break through when you have to beat a guy like Patrick Mahomes. And that's why the Rams went and got a guy like Matthew Stafford. And I think the Niners are in that exact same situation. If they pick Mac Jones, it would kind of fly in the face of that. But that's what I see. I see this effect of these ultra-talented playmaking quarterbacks and what other coaches have seen those guys do for even talented play callers. And now everybody wants theirs. And I do think that 2017 draft is a tipping point in that happening.
Yeah.
Robert, is there a guy at 20 that you would be thrilled with that's not a quarterback?
Yeah, I think there are a couple different people. I mean, if there's one of those tackles, you could talk yourself into several of them. I think that Tevin Jenkins is a really fun player. You know, he's got a lot of attitude. I really like watching him play. His tape against Texas going against Joseph Osai, who is another draft pick, I mean, draftable player probably on day two, he threw him around. He played very well. And he's not just a power strength guy. He's got some real varied approaches in his pass sets. I think he's really smart and his game is pretty advanced. He's 20. He's going to be 23, which is, that part might be part of it. But I do really like him. You know, if Darisaw happened to fall, I think he's extremely talented. There was some injury concern stuff that came out about him earlier today. Most of it was that he played through injury, which may even lift his draft stock. But he's another guy that if you were there, and I think some of the, you know, the corners are decent. I think that Greg Newsome is a fun player. If you have concerns about what he can do in man coverage because you haven't seen a lot of that, I think that if Desai is going to go back to a lot of Vic Fangio stuff, and they're playing more off and it's a lot of split safety stuff, he seems like he'd be comfortable there. I think there are a lot of decent players in that range. It's just the quarterbacks are probably not going to be there.
Robert, do you believe that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are on the hot seat?
Yes.
You do?
Well, I think they have to be. I don't understand how you couldn't be if you look at the lack of progress that's been made. I totally understand the people that try to argue that this team has never had a losing season in this regime. They've made the playoffs twice, all of that stuff. But I want to look at the process, not just the results. You know, we're 2 years removed from them winning 12 games and winning the division, but that was when they had the best offense or defense in the NFL by far. the people responsible for creating that are no longer here. I mean, that is a Vic Fangio and creation, and that is not part of what this team is anymore.
But if
they're turning in the wrong direction.
But if you know, and you did know, if your ownership, that 2021 is going to be another pivotal year in terms of deciding who your quarterback of the future is going to be, why would you allow the same decision makers to maintain their position based on their ineffectiveness over the last several years?
It's a great question. I don't know. I think they're trying to talk themselves into, again, a couple tweaks getting them where they want to go.
Sure.
And I just think that's such a dangerous approach with all of this. If you look at some teams that have taken drastic measures to start over, I think they've been rewarded. If you look at what the Dolphins have done, I think they've been rewarded. They have put themselves in a better position by saying, we can't just tweak this anymore. We have to blow this up and start over again.
That makes sense. Our guys just got lifetime contracts. I don't know if you know that, but I think
that's Waddle's philosophy, Robert. He believes that.
I don't believe either guy's on the hot seat. Yeah. I just don't. I mean, I think if you listen to their press conference at the end of the year, Ted Phillip is telling you, did we get the quarterback position right? No. Did we win enough games? No. But everything else is there, and we really like our guys. Like, I don't think that they're being held to any type of standard at all. And you know, Robert, and you said it, and I agree with you 100%. But you know what their argument is going to be for keeping Matt. He was coach of the year as a rookie. He's gotten this team to the postseason two of the last 3 years, even if they don't get there next this upcoming year, two of the last 4 years. You know, I don't want to talk about the fact that they expanded the postseason. You know what I'm saying. I just think they have a bunch of built-in excuses for keeping guys that they just like as guys.
I think so, too. And this is definitely an organization that has been patient. I mean, think about how long Lovie Smith was there. Think about how long Jerry Angelo was there. And they did a great job. And they were one of the most successful franchises in the league. But This is absolutely a leadership group that's going to give their guys a lot of time and a lot of patience. And to me, it's just a question of what you're trying to accomplish. If this is a team that wants to stay relevant and you want to hover around 500, maybe slip into the playoffs, this regime is absolutely capable of doing that. But what are you trying to do? If you're trying to win, go 8-8, which you can't anymore, thank God. If that's what you're trying to do, then these might be the right guys. But this is not a team that is close to competing. And I don't even know if the right quarterback is what could put them there. This is a roster, I think, that is far less healthy than a lot of other people would lead you to believe. Even a guy like Russell Wilson, if you were to walk in here, I'm not sure trading four first-round picks and getting Russell Wilson is going to even make you a contender.
I'm with you, so Robert. I've been saying for 2 years now, I think they're closer to 6-10 than 10-6.
100%. I think you absolutely could have gone 6-10 last year. Yep. I mean, a couple bounces of the ball and they're 6-10. You lose three of those games that they win at the last second, and they're a 6-10 or 5-11 team. And I honestly believe that if that had happened, that there would be more progress than there's been. I think the way that everything broke last year leads to false hope and leads you to rationalize things that you just shouldn't be rationalizing. I think there's some delusion that's happening at every single level of this right now.
Mays, great stuff as always. We said last year at the Super Bowl a year and a half ago, we said beers is a show soon, all right? You're going to join us. We're going to go out one day after the show, then the pandemic hit. So we got to do that this summer, all right?
I'm around. I'm absolutely around. We're moving, but staying in the city. So anytime.
That sounds good.
Robert Mays,
he's a Chicago guy. He covers the National Football League on a national level for The Athletic, and he hosts The Athletic Football Show.
I always like his thoughts.
He's good. Yeah, very, very good. All right, coming up next, it's Waddle's Big Board. Ooh. We're up to number two. Who's number two? You know who's not? It's not Trevor Lawrence.
No, it ain't.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Today's Twitch is brought to you by Mike's Hard Lemonade Seltzer. Nobody makes lemonade like Mike's. Welcome to Mike's Hard Lemonade. And welcome if you're watching on Twitch. A lot of good conversation. I just checked in officially for the first time in the chat today, just now in that last break. Good crowd in there.
Good crowd.
It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago.
Get in here.
A lot of new cool ways to watch and listen to the show. You also got that ESPN Chicago app. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. Preset your radio in your car. Preset one, P1 Club to AM 1000. Waddle, what's so your big board has gotten a lot of great reaction
over here. Yeah.
People like it.
Yeah,
and
good.
A lot of people have followed in the last few days. If you're not following the show page at Waddle and Sylvie on Instagram,
shame.
And you're on Instagram, yeah, shame, shame, shame. Get on there. And if you're not on Instagram, I love Instagram. It's my favorite social media vehicle right now, currently. And follow at Waddle and Sylvie. Waddle's on there personally as well at TommyBoy87. I'm there at Mark, M-A-R-C, A. Silverman. And Black and Abdallah are on there. And make sure you follow the ESPN Chicago page. But for this, the Waddle and Sylvie page.
Number two. Do you have any guesses for who number two is?
Well, it was Penei Sewell, who was
Penei
number
Sewell,
three.
The offensive tackle from Oregon, was number
yes,
three on my
I
big
do.
Board.
It is the wide receiver from LSU, Chase.
Ja'Marr Chase comes in at number two for me. Again, this is regardless of position. This is regardless of team need. I'm not projecting who will go first through 10th. I'm telling you the 10 best players. In my opinion, and number two is LSU wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase. He sat out the 2020 season. In 2019, he set pretty much every record there was to be set. 84 catches for 1,780 yards. That's an average of 21.2 yards per catch. 20 touchdowns, so nearly one in every four catches was a touchdown.
That's incredible.
He's got good size. He's listed as 6'1", about 210 pounds. He's got top-line speed. He runs good routes. He can play on the edge. You could put him in the slot. He creates separation. He goes up and catches the ball with his hands. Look, this is a very good receiving class. You've got the two kids, Waddle and Smith, from Alabama. I think he's the best of the bunch. Again, this is regardless of position. He was Joe Burrow's guy back in 2019. There's a good chance that he may be Joe Burrow's guy when the Cincinnati Bengals draft this year.
What do you think? Him or the tackle?
Sewell?
Yeah.
Don't know. I mean, you got two good choices there.
You do.
Now look, I would probably go with Sewell, considering that if you go back and look at the film from the Bengals last year, what happened to Joe Burrow? He got destroyed. He got killed behind that offensive line. So Sewell may be a better long-term pick, but having an asset inside your offensive huddle like Ja'Marr Chase is definitely a positive. He is a fabulous player, size, speed, the ability to run routes, the production, all of it. He's number two on my big list. My big board's only got one player left. Everyone knows who's that going to be, but you'll hear it tomorrow.
Two things. One, it's a deeper wide receiver draft than it is offensive tackle draft. So they'd be wise to get the best one that they can for his future to protect him. And then you can get a wide receiver later in the draft.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, he's not going to be as good, but it's a pretty deep wide receiver. And the other thing is, I'm just saying, I'm not trying to put the thing under pro. Like, I'm not going to run out there and be the manager and draw the P on the big board.
Are you the one that's been drawing
protest?
The P on the back of my car?
I would draw literal P's, though. It would just be this.
Yeah, for protest.
Your car is under protest. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. It's not surprising that the dude that caught passes for a living is making two pass catchers number one and number two. I'm not saying anything. I'm just putting the information out there. I'm not saying there's a bias. I'm just putting the information out there that
it's fair.
That two dudes that are catching passes are in the top two. Just saying.
You know, to your point too, Abdallah, you said they may not be better than Chase, but you should have seen the 2019 wide receiver list. Not last year's, 2 years ago. I believe like DK Metcalf was like the eighth or ninth wide receiver off the board, and he's the best of the bunch. Well, so you never know. Wide receivers are weird the way that where they're drafted.
I don't know what the fact is, but last year Jefferson from the Vikings was the first round wide receiver that has been like a Pro Bowler, and I can't tell you how long.
Let me take Chase because he's been very patient. He's a big listener. My guy Chase on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chase?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Everything's good. What are you up to?
Not much. Just driving, Liv. I'm trying to make some money.
That's nice.
I was trying to say,
You know, I remember you guys was talking about.
Hold on here, nights. Chase. You're doing this again to me. Do you are you're driving for a living, but you don't have your seatbelt on? Is that the seatbelt chime we keep hearing when you call?
I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me put that on.
Well, yeah, put your seatbelt on.
He's the safety police, Chase.
Oh, yeah. I like you, Chase. I want
I
you to be safe.
He was backing up.
He did this the last time, and someone alerted me to this. And I'm like, boy, is Chase riding around without a seatbelt? Now today I found out he's a Lyft driver. Put that belt on.
I'm sorry, guys. Don't get me in trouble, please.
I don't want you to get in trouble.
This is Steve, right? This is Steve. This isn't Chase. This is Steve.
Oh, yeah, I understand. But now, what I was trying to say was, I remember you guys was talking about George, about the meddling thing. And the guy that worries me and scares me is Phillip. That's the guy that you got to be careful for. He scares me because I really do believe that he is the wild card in all this. Because I believe that if there is somebody meddling, it's him because of, which I remember Sylvia brought this up a few months ago about how he did get involved in that LaDainian Tomlinson thing. And I'm worried that he could be somewhat in the process of telling, you know, Pace that you can move up, you know, and do these things because he might be the one that might be, because he is the problem at all this. If you want to, because I don't think George is metal. I don't think George has anything, don't want no parts of this. I think Phillips is the one that's the problem. So if you want to know somebody that worries you, it's Tess Phillips, because I believe he's the problem, because he is the problem at all this. He's been the problem from day one.
He's
I
the team president.
Yes, he's the problem. He is the guy that's causing all the issues. He's the reason why we're in this mess we're in now, because of he's meddling. Why is he even involved in interviews? He shouldn't be involved in nothing. He doesn't know anything about football. He doesn't even know how. He doesn't even know anything about finance. He doesn't even know how to run a stadium.
Chase,
so basically, we have Dumb and Dumber running his team like that.
You be safe, all right, Chase?
Yes. All right, fellas. Thank you,
Chase. I like Chase. Appreciate it. Chase is fun. All right, it's also fun. Waddle's World is coming up. 4 o'clock, we're going to get to the baseball picture with Jeff Passan and La Russa and the Cubs. So, I mean, like the La Russa, the Sox, and then the Cubs as well. It's all coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office, just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports picks. Look at the aerobics in the air. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. It's making my head spin. How many activities you can do.
As we enter.
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Yeah. Da, 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 da.
Let's do this. Waddle's World brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/finest, member FDIC. Real quick baseball note before I throw it in for some other baseball news. For those of you asking, yes, the Reds and Dodgers are tied at 0 after 1 in Los Angeles. That's after the Reds having lost 7 in a row, then they went on a 2-game win streak in L.A. to beat the Dodgers. Just wanted to update some of my fine Cincinnati Reds fans, friends out there. Adam, you do have some Cubs news for us?
I got two bits of Cubs
news. Really?
The Cubs have broken glass for in case of emergency only. Anthony Rizzo's leading off tonight.
Yeah, whoa! Told you it wasn't far case away from happening.
Yeah, good one.
And also, according to David Ross and Jesse, who just texted me this, Javi should be back in the lineup tomorrow after going through some more warm-ups and testing out that hamstring. He should be back tomorrow.
Is KB in the lineup today?
That is a good question.
Good question.
Does not count, but Waddle got 2 points in from Robert.
That is fantastic.
Busting him out.
By the way, like last night,
Bryant is back in the lineup.
Good. Okay, good. Last night was a sucky night to be a Chicago sports fan, wasn't it, on a number of fronts? Totally. Your Cubs stunk. The Blackhawks got absolutely thumped. The White Sox, I don't know what the hell that was. Like, it was tough to be a Chicago sports fan last night. That's all I'm saying. That's all I got for you. And speaking of the Blackhawks, Adam Boqvist ruled out for the season. He's been plagued by injuries since before the 2021 season. But I believe if you saw what happened to him last night, broken right wrist, he's done for the year. Was not good. I saw him skating off the ice, and he was basically holding his arm almost like he was trying to keep his arm in place. So not good for him. He's out, Boquist out for the entire year, rest of the year.
And that was not a fun game last night.
It was not. That's what I was trying to say.
It was not a fun night overall. I mean, like, the temperatures dropped, and then all three teams lost.
Today's injury update is brought to you by Rush University System for Health. Rush has been providing excellent care to patients throughout the pandemic. Oh, man. There's no need to delay health visits, people. They offer care and safe environment.
You know, it was a bad night last night for Chicago sports teams.
Or virtually.
Lost. For the Blackhawks.
Learn more at rush.edu.
I dozed off after the Reds update. I'm sorry. Wait, after the Reds, after you led with the Reds.
You don't have to point the finger at me.
You're not a fan of Dave's baseball?
Just point the finger at yourself. Major League Baseball. Say, hey.
Do you want me to give you a Champions League update, yeah. Sylvie?
Can you give me
Manchester City leads Paris Saint-Germain.
What?
Paris Saint-Germain. 2-1 in Champions League quarterfinals, semifinals. Whatever it is before the final.
Just absolutely sucks, my computer.
Maybe it's the user, because your computer...
There you go again. Why is it personal? Because,
well, you just had to buy a computer at home. This is a new computer.
Why? What led you to take a personal shot at me?
I'm saying maybe you're not using it correctly.
Well, I can't get inside the guts of the computer and connect to the internet. The internet goes in and out on this thing. That ain't a me problem, bro. Look, just because you repeated exactly what I said 60 seconds
earlier. Bad night
earlier,
for Chicago sports last night.
Like, all of a sudden,
I noticed last night the temperature dropped like 20 degrees.
It was crazy by the time we got
crazy,
home.
Crazy, man. Woo. Crazy.
Richard.
You know, his hips are no good in this weather.
Oh, God, I'm dying right now. Like, I'm squirming in my seat.
You could have just said he's no good in this weather. The knee, the hip. No, I'm saying you said my whole body hurts. I'm saying his knee, his shoulder, everything.
You just gave Abdallah the middle finger.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
On Twitch, there's video record of that.
Yes.
That wasn't
and
nice.
I will, you know what I will do? I will attest to that if questioned.
I will
serve as a witness for me giving you the finger. I will confirm, yes. Did you know it sucked last night to be a Chicago sports
something,
fan?
Wasn't it? I mean,
it was.
The Hawks lost. Boquist had the wrist broken.
He carried the wrist off the ice.
No, he was holding
picked
it.
Picked it up,
he was holding
took it off
it.
The ice, carried it.
I'm not going to say. I'm just going to say. No, I'm not even going to say.
Don't do it.
I'm not going to say. Did you see Antonio Brown is re-signing with the Bucks? 1-year contract worth up to $6.25 million. Look, they basically just said, when you say the phrase, run it back, there's a Tampa Bay Buccaneers logo attached to it. Like, everyone on their offense is coming back. Half of their defense is coming back at least. Like, they are coming back intact as Super Bowl champs. The deal means that the Bucks are bringing back all 22 players who started in Super Bowl, whatever Super Bowl number it was. What was it, 55? LV.
Yeah. So he's happy, you think? And
well, he's getting $6.5 million if he hits some bonuses. He's guaranteed $3.1 million.
Do you think he'll be much better? Like, will he go back to
I think you'll get more
being,
production out of him.
Like, he'll be go
yeah.
Get some rhythm. He's going to have a full off season. Yeah. It's not going to be about, hey, the NFL, will they let him play or they're not going to let him play? He knows Brady. Brady knows him better. I know they played briefly together in New England.
Did you know that they played briefly together in New England? Did you also see that Coach John Harbaugh says the Ravens will pick up Lamar Jackson's fifth-year option?
Breaking news.
Floyd Mayweather, Logan Paul fight has been rescheduled for June 6th in Miami.
We got to talk about that because I brought him up again. I mean, is this so he has the title, Mayweather, right? Is this an exhibition or could not that Paul's going to win, but what is this?
What
is
if he does? Is he the title
is
holder?
Is this a showcase? Is this a belt? Like, is he getting a shot at the title or does he not have a title anymore because he's retired? And I don't know how
I
boxing
believe it's
works.
Pitched as an exhibition.
It's an exhibition.
How much is it? Each of a, my guess is Mayweather is coming back because this, from his perspective, it's going to be a light workout and he's going to get paid a ton.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is the take for both of them? Have they
I don't know about that yet. Weren't they talking the last pay-per-view that Paul did? It was like $40 million that right. they made or something like that.
Look, people want to go and watch boxing.
But maybe I'm wrong about this. Mayweather's retired, so what?
Right.
What belts does he
that's
hold
what I was wondering.
Since he's in retirement?
Well, I don't know.
I don't think so.
Mayweather has claimed he will make over $100 million for this fight.
Are you buying this? I mean, are people going to buy this? Are you going to be watching? I mean, I'm sort of interested to see, like, he's fighting again. Like, I asked the other day, why isn't he fighting a boxer? Now he's fighting one of the, arguably one of the greatest boxers of all time. Mm-hmm. But the thing is Mayweather usually doesn't hurt his guys.
No. I mean, he just avoids his guys.
Right.
Yes. He nicks them up. He kills them with 1,000 cuts, right?
Yes.
Is that the saying?
Death by 1,000 paper cuts?
Yeah, I don't know. It was a rough night for Chicago sports.
It was. Listen, we're going to get to that later.
If I could bet this, I assume once this is official, I'll bet Mayweather by knockout.
Even though the odds are going to be astronomical?
Well, by knockout,
he doesn't knock anyone out.
Yeah, he doesn't knock anyone out, but like...
Well, how did it end for Conor McGregor?
It didn't end in a knockout.
It was just a...
Yeah, it was a, wasn't it...
Did it go the distance? It was a decision, I thought.
All I know is, did you see Mayweather sold his portion of that proper Irish whiskey for like $600 million?
That's a good profit.
It's a good day.
Better than Chicago sports last night.
Yeah, it was, man. That was a challenge last night. Hey, you've heard of a poop knife, haven't you?
Oh, of course. From Waddle's World.
Have you ever heard of a poop wall?
No, and I don't want to. Do I want to?
Yes, you do.
I do?
You'll get that and a little something we call Florida or Ohio when we return.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Do you like to go to Michigan?
Let's go to Michigan. Yeah, I like the state of Michigan. I've been to New Buffalo before.
We are going to Lodi Township in Michigan.
All right, L-O-D-I.
You got it. Man builds poop wall in Washtenaw County after a dispute with his neighbor.
So, he put poop all over a wall, smeared poop?
A 250-foot-long wall of poop.
It's disgusting.
Divides two properties in Lodi Township. It's a smelly fence that Wayne Lambarth says his farmer neighbor built after a dispute.
So wait, he like took manure and he actually built a wall of manure.
Normally they spread it on the field, but they decided to make a fence out of it, Lambarth said. Lambarth's grandfather developed the farm 100 years ago, but the property was divided. There was a dispute over the property line last year. That's when the manure appeared close to the house.
You know who did this before? Ryan Pace, when he built the New Wingate House Hall. Built with poop walls.
No, that's not. There's no manure there. That's the best part of the whole thing. It's just a blank pile over there, Jaden Schwarzel says. He built a poop wall. He got mad. He built a poop wall.
I like that. That's an aggressive, solid move. Yes, I think that is.
Depending on the day.
What?
Depending on the day. Solid depending on the day.
Poop wall. Dirty wall.
Would this give last year's winner a battle?
Dying inside. Gambled and lost quite a few times. But this time I'm ready. The toilet's all mine.
It's a journey, this song.
Feels like I'm giving birth. Can't flush, there's too much girth.
Everybody now.
Poop knife. Dirty knife. Toilet's full. No plunger in sight. Solve this problem like only I can. I grab my poop knife with my right hand. Cut it up into pieces. Oof. Flush away my feces.
I love getting into the time machine every now and again and hearing one of those
We're going to do
parody songs.
This upcoming year, we got to do that, the Battle of the Champions.
Okay.
The champion round.
I see that.
After we do the real thing, after that, we'll bring like the best winners and we're going to let our listeners
Champions
vote.
League. We'll call it Champions League.
There you go.
What do you think? Champions League? Nah, Super League.
This will be the Super League of parody songs.
Funny pickles seized by Border Protection turn out to be $4 million worth of meth. Customs and Borders Protection officers recently seized more than $4 million worth of suspected methamphetamine at the Far Reynosa International Bridge cargo facility.
Hmm.
On April 17th, the officers examined a tractor trailer hauling a commercial shipment of fresh cucumber pickles into Texas with a non-intrusive imaging system and found it was hiding 114 packages of alleged methamphetamines weighing 217 pounds.
My man Waddle loves a good pickle.
No doubt. I love pickles. By the way, Dodgers got a 1-0 lead over the Reds. This is pretty much the theme or the plot in some ways of 0-0-0. You got to get back to that.
I do. I did like it. Again, like, I've been so short on sleep that when I start watching some dramas sometime, it's not an indication on it's being boring.
Right.
I just drift off.
I got it. Before we get to Florida or Ohio, German police say a grenade-shaped item in the forest was just a sex toy. That's all it was.
Yeah.
You thought it was a grenade in the forest. It was a sex toy.
It's going to make something explode.
Want to play a game? No.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. It's not a cannibal. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Florida, Ohio is brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming from head to toe in Florida, Ohio, and across the globe. Make sure you use promo code
Chicago, 20% off and free shipping.
Arrestee tried to smuggle drugs in his prosthetic leg, cops say. A man was being booked into jail and thought about smuggling some narcotics into lockup that were hidden inside his prosthetic leg.
You got to know better than that. Well, like, that is obvious.
Well, that's really? I was going to say that's pretty damn smart. No, come on, really? That's too obvious?
That's the old fake leg filled with drugs trick. Everybody knows that one.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah.
When they searched the leg, they found cocaine.
Miami International Airport.
Beach. Let's go.
Let's just move on. Ohio criminals are not that out of touch with what the real rules are.
You didn't know how I started the other day, and it was cocaine, but whatever.
Miami.
With meth, though.
That's right. We had meth first.
Fentanyl, meth, and cocaine.
Ooh. Oh, that's the trifecta.
All the fixins.
All the stuff that's going to get you thrown in jail for a long time.
Show me Florida.
Yeah. Show me Florida.
There you go.
Roll going right now.
A lot of football talking. I'm arguing with a lot of people online today. All right. I want to get back to that in a little bit. A lot of people have problems with me, and I've got problems with people today.
But now we know what's got his attention, ladies and gentlemen.
But coming up in 2 short minutes, Jeff Passan on the brutal mistakes, and it's plural, from Tony La Russa last night. That's up in 2 minutes.